OTR. W4NGU.
Good morning, Phil. This is Engineer on TR on mobile.
Do today.
Just riding along here with my pretty little bride, is Gary Colter on the release. And headed down. She's got a lab before a doctor's appointment next week.
Good morning, Phil.
Hey, Bernice. Well, I hope your lab work comes out fine. I got to do that in about 90 days. I'm headed down to the AC Hotel, where there's no parking, and you got to go in with a valet, but I got stuff to unload, and I'm going to have to set up equipment, and it's going to be pouring rain for the guests coming in, and I'm just going to have a thoroughly disgusting day, but I got a smile on my face.
You need to have one of them rain suits like we used to wear when we rode motorcycles like idiots in the rain. But they worked. I think my neighbor says the ones they wear are frog suits when they go fishing, and they're real reasonable and do a good job. What AC Hotel? What, I don't know where that's at. What kind of meeting you having? Business?
Yeah, we've got our annual donor dinner. We make a big deal for people that have given a certain amount of money in the last 12 months, do it every year. And the AC Hotel is new. It's on the site of the old Greenville News printing building, right across from the Peace Center. And supposedly it was a prime piece of real estate, but go figure. But, Tom, they treat me good at work. They don't put any pressure on me. They don't have production goals on me. And about once or twice a year, I get stuck in a manual labor job like this, but that's just fine. I'm just going to smile and do what they want me to do and be an executive for the other 363 days out of the year.
Well, they demote you to blue collar. I spent 50 years there, Phil. Shoot, well, that's nice of you to do that anyways. And I know Rusty goes down and does a food court thing for the poor folks, and that's a nice thing for the church. And, well, I hope the rain lets up a little bit. I think it has here lately, and then bombards again later in the afternoon. We got 1 inch last night, but we've had almost 6 inches this month. And this month isn't very far gone.
Strange rain. Like, I got just barely enough to keep the wipers on the lowest setting right now, but it's been on off with the wipers. It's not been a drenching rain, at least most of the time.
Well, Phil, it's just getting miserable, and Amy's got that Oktoberfest coming up in on Saturday. Their yard's beautiful, but I don't know how it'll take this much rain. But they got a huge screened-in porch, and then everybody can sit in the living room and whatnot. But I don't imagine it'll put a damper on it. I don't think there'll be near as many come as there usually does, which may be a good thing. Oh, got my third shot last night.
Well, one other comment about Saturday. I heard Dave Watson say he's always low as 16%. I hadn't seen that, but I've seen as low as 30. I think it definitely is headed out. So maybe, and I think Sunday is supposed to be partly cloudy. So maybe by Saturday night, she'll be in good shape.
Backing in here to the, I don't have to go in. I'm going to sit here. But the backup camera gets a little distorted whenever it's raining. Yeah, well, Dave's looking to fly, I'm sure. Go ahead, Bernice. And I can sympathize with that. But even that, if you're landing on a grass field, well, of course, he's doing the drones, so that wouldn't bother them any.
Yeah, I'd love to do that sometime, maybe after I retire, but I've just got enough hobbies and honeydews and stuff to do right now to get into it. I did some fixed wing stuff, I guess early 90s, just a little bit, not much. Some of my carpenters were into that big time, and competition, and so they kind of drug me into it just to have something to do with them, you know, to pal around with them. But I said if I got back into it, I'd go the drone route. That kind of appeals to me.
Dave's writing some really unique programs. It sounds very interesting, way beyond most people's brain power, put it that way. He's using GPS and coordinating that with the controllers and all kinds of stuff like that, and it's just incredible. And the amount of money that you can or cannot put into it is kind of like fishing. It's a big hole to toss money into. But I think maybe he's got other plans for the use of those, maybe commercially later on down the line. And if anybody could do it, he can.
Tired listening to what he gets into for his hobby.
Yeah, I'm getting a little deep. Shoot. I think we're all guilty of that. I think I'm out of this guy's way good enough, I hope. He's just getting ready to go. But I don't know. I can't stand around that long, Phil. That gets to me. And the heat and the cold and whatnot. So I just kind of give up on the idea. I have a small drone and I fly it around the backyard now and then.
I was talking about drones several years ago, and my mom bought me a really cheapo that's just hard to keep in the air. It's just, and the radio in it, you can get the thing straight above your head and I lose control of it. The radio just doesn't have the reach that it needs. But it's a good little thing to demonstrate with, and it's a lot of fun. For some reason, my interest always goes back to it, and I get it out when it snows. I got some nice videos of flying around in the snow with it.
Well, I haven't had mine out in a while. I think I may get it out. They all seem to use that spread spectrum now. I know they were getting into spread spectrum, that Dave mentioned, some lady invented it, but on our overhead cranes, some of those, before I retired, I'm talking about big cranes, they used that, and the guy just strapped on a little bunch of joysticks around his waist there in front of him, and that's how they control the cranes. And I noticed they did that down at General Electric, and they had even bigger cranes than we did, and we had up to 50 tons, and I worked on one that was 250 tons one time over at the railroad when they got stuck and didn't have anybody to repair it back home in Kansas, and I heard all of us rich guys that moved down here were driving up the prices of the houses, and I got news for you. That wasn't me, and I'm the only one in Kansas I've ever met down here. But at any rate, I did work on them some up there, and it was interesting because they were fail-safe. I mean, you had to be within so many feet of the cranes, and there was just not much that would interfere with the reception of the receivers in them.
The clouds really didn't part. There's no sun, but it just all of a sudden got so bright I almost need sunglasses.
Carry them. I have my brown ones that you don't like. I noticed this morning at 6 o'clock, or at 7 o'clock, I think it is, the flight to Detroit goes out of out of GSP, and it was still taking off, and it was pouring down rain about that time up here. And just amazes me what they can do. I know we come into GSP one time, and I was talking to the pilots afterwards, and I said, you know, I've made landings on carriers that were pretty dicey in the fog and the rain, but I said, I'll have to commend you fellas. You done a wonderful job tonight. I said, I was getting a little concerned. We landed in a thunderstorm, and I said, how far from the runway did you break out? And the pilot kind of grinned. He says, 250 feet.
Well, speaking of planes, I'm on 85 southbound, and a passenger airliner just went out directly over my head landing, and off the tip of each wing, a very distinct and full vapor trail coming off. What could that have been on a commercial airliner?
What to do with the humidity and stuff like that. Those little winglets out there actually increase fuel consumption by quite a few percent. I'm not sure how many. I was thinking up to 10%. But all of the more modern 737s and on up the line with all the other ones, they have those winglets on them now. This is Enduro TR.
Well, I guess that's just a little piece of metal on the tip of the wing.
Yeah, it just pokes up out on the tip of the wings. I noticed a great many of them have it down there, especially like Southwest and that. They're flying the more modern 737s, and all of the ones above that pretty much have it, the newer ones. And it's, you know, you get that with pressure and humidity and that, and I can't remember the why of it, but you see it more often on the military jets, you know, but it can very definitely occur on commercial ones too.
Well, I have a friend that his son developed something and was getting a patent on it, and my impression was that it was some sort of little piece of metal along the front edge of the wing. I can't imagine, as long as they've been designing airplane wings, that nobody thought of this before, but it reduced fuel consumption so much. I mean, the big boys jumped in on it. Everybody wanted to claim they had invented it, and it's been in court and stuff, and I don't know where that thing stands now, but it was going to be a patent worth billions. I mean, it was just going to revolutionize everything, and the dad's in a nursing home in Easley now. I need to call him and see how he's doing and see whatever happened with the... Now, mister, don't you stay in your lane with that big trailer. He's on the white line, and I can't get around him right yet. But anyway, I wonder whatever happened to that. You ever hear of such a thing?
I was trying to think of the name of that. I'm thinking of the ASR-3s that dissipated static out on the trailing edge, but there's little things that stick up out on the wings. They're basically trying to achieve any more laminar flow in the design of these planes. And there's a new one that they're working with now. It's a Celera 500, I think it is. And if you ever notice, the plane that comes in down here at GSP that has forward canards and that, I got Poseidon on my mind now, but it's not. There's Bernice. I was trying to think of the name of that thing. Starts with a P. And it's about as close to laminar flow as there is. It's a pusher prop turbo from down there that's stationed here in Greenville, a business jet. And this guy's even improving on that with this laminar flow project he's got. And he's talking about business jet type speeds, almost 500 miles an hour, in ranges of 1,500 miles, like the big boys do with their Citations and Gulfstreams and that. Because he got frustrated, and he was a designer for NASA, but he got frustrated because no matter what you'd done, you could go slower and save money with a turboprop, but you could go faster and spend more money and get there a little bit earlier with the jets. But this guy's got a combination of both. He's getting that kind of fuel efficiency and speed from a turboprop. So that was pretty neat to read about. This is N0TR.
Well, that's interesting. It's W4NGU. They keep doing renovations on them. It just gets better and better. I've got a friend that actually, I guess it's been 10 years since he graduated, and he has started a business jet company. He had some investors, and I was playing top golf with him last Friday morning, and he would see planes coming in to land at GSP, and he'd say, oh, that's a so-and-so. He knew each one, and he said, that's a $65 million aircraft at least, private plane. I'm going to tell you, Tom, you got to be either doggone rich or doggone important to spend $65 million on your own plane.
Chances are they're not a ham. Yeah, those winglets, getting back to that too. So they're, the winglets help eliminate the vortex caused by the midwing of those airplanes. They're the spiraling effect, you know. So if you ever landed behind one, it didn't have that winglet on there with a small plane, you'd really get a lot of turbulence coming in shortly after the big one lands. Go ahead there, Tom. Gosh, I turned this thing on and Tom is on all the time. Are you part of the ID on the repeater here? KB6RRX, if I'm not doubling with you.
Well, the RRX station. Yeah, I figured it had something to do with vortex or something, but that's engineer stuff. Well, I'm about where I'm going. You have a good day, and I'll see you later. W4, never give up.
WNF. Okay. Well, 73. Name here is Doug, waiting on my better half. You know, she loves to do shopping. KB6RRX, and that's when I turn the radio on. You don't need to do that on this repeater. Tom's listening all the way in the backyard if it's not raining over there. Not raining here currently either where I am. So, Tom, what else have you been up to? N0TR, I think it is. KB6RRX calling.
KB6RRX, good morning. And Phil, I'm sorry, Bernice couldn't make her mind up here at the window at McDonald's. Are you still out there? W4NGU, and then you can pass it on off to, oh gosh, I forgot his name now. Go ahead, Phil, if you're there.
Yeah, but I'm destinated, Tom. I need to sign. You guys carry on. W4, never give up.
Great to hear you this morning, Phil, and thanks for hollering out there. This is N0TR. KB6RRX, go ahead, sir. I'm in the McDonald's line up here, so I may have to duck out for a minute whenever I get to head the line.
Served there. If you were in the Chick-fil-A, you got to get there at 9 o'clock to get served by noon. Now, Chick-fil-A does a wonderful job of getting people through. They hire educated people. Now, McDonald's, well, you might get it before supper time.
This is Tom, and I'm in Greer. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's affirmative. But we had to go to the doctor's office, and it was just about a half a block over here to McDee's. And I think I would have probably been better off if I'd went on down the road to the what we call the inverted arches. That would be Wendy's.
It's not a good chili. I know in the wintertime I like their chili. It's usually very, very good for the cooler season. My wife's been buying specials on ground round here lately, so We'll be having some chilly here pretty soon, just getting a little cooler weather is what we're looking for. N0TR at Mobile at McDonald's, KB6RRX Mobile at rest here in, what street am I on? Spartanburg Road, there we go. Yeah, that's where I am, somewhere in between one end and the other.
RX there for a minute. I'm at the window. You know, I'm moving on. Thank you, young lady. And give me your name again. I know it, and I just forgot it this morning. But I'm old, and I think I'm going to get to pull up to the next window. Yes, just stand by again for a second, if you would, please.
I hope there's a cute gal at the window there, Tom.
No, I believe she had some age on me, actually. Go ahead and give me your age, please. Age, not your age. Your name, and I apologize if I missed it, because I have talked to you before.
I go by Doug Shorter, you know, so. Like Henrietta would probably go by Henry or Hank. I go by Doug. Dirty Old Ugly Guy, phonetics there. Short for Dirty Old Ugly Guy, loves a lot of sex. Short for Douglas. So there you go. Do we have anyone else listening here? Like to call their wife if they're out and about, see if they got to bring home a loaf of bread or a dozen eggs or something like that. Because a lot of times there's a lot of listeners, I'm sure, on our active repeater.
I'm in there. I got cars coming from both directions. And trying to get out here on Wade Hampton, which is almost like I-85 anymore. Finally, maybe I can make it now. If I don't get run over, Doug. I did, but the light turned red. Well, Bernice hasn't had anything to eat, and it's 10:41 in the morning, and so we had to do something quick here, or she's liable to wither away.
Wait, after you mentioned about traffic, well, I think there's just a lot of people unemployed in the area. Either that, or everybody's heading to it from the Social Security office, or unemployment office, I should say, trying to get their welfare checks. Because otherwise, what do people do? I don't see many Uber drivers running around, so they're not hauling any people around. So, but there is a lot of traffic here locally for whatever reason. So I guess living is pretty good.
Paper this morning, this was the fifth, the number five in the United States best small city to live in. So unfortunately, the secret's out. There's not much we can do about it. It is the United States, you know. People got a right to move here. But I like you. I preferred it more rural. We're kind of out and away from it, up between Lake Robinson and Lake Cunningham. So most of the time, we don't go anywhere anyways, being retired, and it's kind of disconcerting having to drive in this stuff. We did it when I was in the Navy back in California, and we lived on Highway 101, which we at least live a couple of blocks from it now, and that was what they call the longest parking lot in the world, which was between San Jose and San Francisco. I know it'd come to a stop there every night. And so life goes,
Doug. You're up there just south of San Francisco where you lived up there one time. Yeah, fine. I've lived there in California for 45 years myself, only Southern California, much worse. You got the Orange Crush and Highway 10 and 5 and 101 and 1 and, oh my gosh, 315. So all of them, you know, during rush hour, they just go and stop. I mean, literally go and stop. Here, I notice they go slow, but there's a heck of a lot of stop signs in town here. I don't know why they have so many stop signs. I'd let the people go around some other way or something, you know. But as soon as you get up to 80, you got to start putting the brakes on for a half a block to stop again. So this goes slow, and then eventually the lights will change, and you can almost time them. N0TR, KB6RRX.
KB6RRX, N0TR. Well, Doug, I flew out of San Diego, North Island, for a year and a half, so I know what you're talking about. That was before I was married, and I was on a aircraft carrier. This is stationed up at Alameda, but we flew out of San Diego. And then later, I was based up in Mountain View, California. And, it was pretty nice up there at the time, even though we were right there in the, where all the new businesses and that, I forget what they call it. What do they call it? Huh? Yeah, Silicon Valley, Fairchild, Raytheon, Union Carbine. In fact, I could have went to work at one of those back then probably, but when I got out, but I chose not to live in that zoo. Doug, been nice talking to you. This one pleasure's all mine. I got to pull in and get some push water here and then go into another one of our favorite places, Wally World. Not. You have a nice day. KB6RRX N0TR is clear on your final.
And at Costco the other day, of 271, it raised their price too from 264. So, yeah, fill the lawnmower cans up too or get some spares. It'll probably go up higher. It's $4.50 a gallon for the cheap stuff in California. So, get all you can now before South Carolina gets wind of the prices out that way. Good talking to you. Thanks for keeping me company. Motor with care. N0TR, mobile moving, I guess. KB6RRX, mobile at rest.
4 Tango Juliet.
Juliet, well, I can ride along with you if you're walking or riding. Either way, just watch your step, okay? Name here is Doug. I'm on the Spartanburg Road somewhere. I don't know exactly what other cross street there is. I just happen to look at the GPS. Waiting on my better half. So, 0TG. Call your KB6RRX.
Well, this is Johnny sitting in the war room in Campobello, South Carolina, and just put up a new antenna and was just curious how well it's putting out this morning.
Good as just did yesterday. Your audio is a little low from Tom. He's probably got an amplifier anyway, but your audio is just a little quieter than his transmission. Okay.
Well, I was sitting a little too far away from the microphone. Hopefully, this just cleared it up.
Best to talk right past the microphone and speak up if you got something to say. That way, there somebody will hear it correctly, and we can correct you if you did it wrong. Okay, we need your handle. No, pots and pans have handles. You're a ham, you know that. So what is your name? I didn't hear that. And your prefix. I think I got the 0 Tango Golf, but I did not get your name. Or your QTH. Every ham needs those three things, even on HF, okay?
Well, I did, but again, I was too far from the microphone. It is Kilo Oscar 4, Tango Juliet, Quebec, K04. TGQ. And this is Johnny transmitting from Campobello.
Okay, well, nice meeting up with you. Yeah, KO4TGQ. Fairly new ham with the KO. Very good. Well, no, they've been around for a while, haven't they? Gosh, I've been, haven't been a BE for 20, 30 years, so I know they've theoretically got calls, and who knows, you might have bought your call like a lot of. A lot of hams, they forget their initials, so they got to have their initials on the call. But hey, it helps ARRL out by spending them extra bucks.
Correct in your first assumption. A brand new ham has 3 weeks now, and getting into it just as hard as I can. It's like drinking water from a fire hose.
Good way of putting it. Yeah, you've got to be thirsty. Well, I tell you what, one radio is good. What do you got, a Bofong? don't buy the cheap stuff to start with. That's one that you do if you want to use it to go up towers and having to drop it and it falls and breaks, so you lose a $30 radio. The batteries cost more than the radio, so you just buy a whole brand new one. But anyway, yeah, get a good one. I've got a 5100 here. You might not know what that is, but it's one of the best mobiles that ICOM has out right now, a D-Star, UHF, VHF, touchscreen, and a very, very small control head to operate it.
Submitted now from a Kenwood Tango Sierra 2000, TS-2000, and I'm in possession of a Yaesu Foxtrot Tango 5D Delta, FT-5 D Delta, and just unloading another Kenwood mobile.
Yeah, you see Kenwood TS-2000. Isn't that a big, big, big mobile? I mean, a big, big base station?
That is correct.
I could never get those real expensive ones, you know. I'd buy two or three of the others, like a TS-50, 440s, TS-180s, 570s, you know, FT-100s. Bought three of those. I have one in each of my trucks here now. I don't have HF set up. I don't do HF anymore. Kind of gave up on that the last 15 years. Conditions, you know how that is. But it's still a good little radio, small control head. Works pretty good. But I took it off my Goldwing motorcycle here about a year ago. I figured the only time I spin the dial while I'd be riding would be somebody else wants to say, anybody else wants to check in on the net here? Why not? Check in KB6R RX Motorcycle Mobile. Oh my God, Motorcycle Mobile. Hey, you got an awesome signal. Oh my God. You know, I really liven the net control up a little bit. Other than that, I don't do those either. So very good there, Johnny. Yeah, you got some good equipment there.
Oscar 4 Tango Juliet, Quebec. Well, thank you very much. Well, in the meantime, now that I know that the antenna is working and set up, I'm going to sign off now, safe travels, and have a good day in this rain.
It's wet. No rain here where I'm sitting now. Was a few sprinkles on the windshield when I was talking with Tom, but I guess that maybe hit it over your way. And what you mentioned your city or your location, and I missed that.
We're just right outside of Landrum, South Carolina.
That's south of 85, I think, isn't it? I'm new to the area. Came up from Georgia here about 10 weeks ago or 9 weeks ago. Okay, Jenny. Hey, have a good one. Yeah, your antenna's working. No problem. I think it's got two or three outlets on that TS-2000 there. So I think it's UHF, VHF, and HF. So we've got three. But you might want to get something into the D-Star line. I think that's the best and most fun all around. Really to talk around the world and get right to a repeater in Seattle, Washington from wherever you are, or downtown Los Angeles or Atlanta or Chicago, or gosh, you can get right to the cities and find out, hey, anybody driving around Portland, Oregon right now? You got the repeater, Portland, Oregon repeater programmed in your D-Star radio. It's awesome. 73, thanks for the call. Thanks for the QSO. K04TGQ, KB6RRX.
KN4IQ mobile.